When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Do me a favor, subscribe to the John Conn Report wherever you get your podcast. You're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You can find us there as part of Empire Media. That's A-M-P-I-R-E. Always much appreciated when you tune in. And don't forget, you can read my work on ESPN.com. I'll have a story up in the next couple of days on Washington and, of course, JD Daniels. So today, oh, by the way, and don't forget, if you want to become a member of the show, go to the Empire Media YouTube page, see the word join. You're going to have to do it for your laptop. See the word join, click on there, and find out which level of membership suits your needs. Appreciate everybody who's joined so far. And those of you who haven't, you're still going to be getting a lot of content from me, as you have seen. I will be doing another private Zoom for the gold members talking about the draft and what lies ahead within the next week or so. So if you gold members, pay attention to that. Today, again, I'm going to be joined by Austin Meek from The Athletic. So I want to bring him on to talk about Mike Sammerstill, because I think he's going to be a very good player for the Commanders. And I know how much they liked him during this process. And at the Michigan Pro Day, one of the things I had been told is that they went out to dinner with J.J. McCarthy. They had him bring on some of his teammates, including Sammerstill, for part of that dinner. And he sat near some Washington officials, and he impressed him. And I think they liked him already, but I think moments like that, scenes like that, stuck with them. And I think that's part of the reason why he is now in Washington. So want to bring on Austin to talk about him, get some insight into who he is as a person, as a player, because I kind of liken him a little bit to a Terry McLaurin on the defensive side, guys who come in from big programs who help change the culture of an organization. The more guys you get like that, the better off you are. And Austin knows him pretty well, wrote a story with Bruce Feldman late in December leading into the playoffs about the Michigan program, and also in part on Sammerstill's impact on their turnaround. So that's why I want to bring Austin on. You can follow him on Twitter at @ByAustinMeek, M-E-E-K, and read his work in The Athletic. So a couple programming notes. I will be back on Friday with another episode, and I'll be doing some more throughout next week. The rookie mini camp is a week from Friday. So you're going to listen to this on Thursday. It's a week from Friday. It's a 3-day mini camp. The media gets one day, which is good. We get a chance to see Jaden Daniels on the field and the other rookies as well. So there you go. There's my conversation with The Athletic's Austin Meek. Trades, free agents, quarterbacks, and all kinds of adventures await the Commanders this offseason. Looking for an adventure of your own? The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring has you covered. The country's largest ropes course and zipline park, located in Montgomery County, Maryland, is now open. Named Best Amusement Park and Climbing Destination in the DMV 2 years in a row, the Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is perfect for birthdays, corporate outings, groups, and families. With challenges anywhere from beginner to expert, there is something for all skill levels. Anytime you're thinking about reaching new heights, make sure you know before you go. The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is the only ACCT accredited park in Maryland or Virginia. Staying on the ground, give axe throwing a try. You can throw at traditional targets or play any number of interactive games. You can even upload your own image. So there you have it, folks. Climbing, zip lining, axes, food, and bonfires right in your backyard. Reserve your adventure today at www.theadventurepark.com/kind. That's www.theadventurepark.com/kind. Well, Austin, you know Mike Sammersteel pretty well. You know that program really well. And Washington was very excited to get him when they did. So I'm just curious, like, in general, what is Washington getting in Mike Sammersteel?
Well, I really thought Mike Sammersteel was the equivalent on defense to what Blake Corum was on offense for Michigan, with basically the heart and soul of the team. And, two of the probably the shortest guys on the team, but two guys, with huge hearts, two guys that really just, every single day showed up ready to work and really, I think, personified what this Michigan team was all about. I covered Mike, from the time he got to Michigan as a wide receiver. He played some his first 3 years as a wide receiver, but was a role player basically. And then 2 years ago, Jim Harbaugh had the idea to move him to nickel, thought he could play on defense. He played some on defense in high school. And he just took to that position and just completely embraced it and became one of the best defensive backs in college football. Just a really unique career, unlike any other career trajectory I think I've ever covered. Really? But a great player, great person. And I think the fans in Washington are really going to like him.
Was there surprise at how well he took to that role?
Yeah, there was. Yeah. I think everybody knew Mikey and knew the kind of player he was and the kind of person he was, and that he would, work really hard at learning that position. But I don't think anybody expected him to play at the level that he played at as quickly as he did, because it was so new for him. Michigan had Dax Hill as the nickel, right. And then he got drafted by the Bengals. And, there was a thought that, if Mike could just be like, anywhere close to the player that Dax Hill was, that would be an amazing success story. And I think he just exceeded all the expectations that anybody had for him when he moved into that position, and was just such a big part of all the success Michigan had the last 2 years, culminating obviously with that national championship.
And when did you start to see him kind of go from being a receiver transitioning to that, to being an actual, hey, he's the nickelback, like he looks like that guy and he's making plays because of it?
Yeah, I think we saw that develop throughout the 2022 season, which was his first season as a starter. I mean, even back in the spring, we started to hear his first spring playing that position. I mean, the coaches were really confident that it was going to work. It wasn't just an experiment, but they really were seeing the signs that he was going to be able to step in and play at a really high level there. I mean, the play everybody's going to remember is the play he made against Ohio State.
Cade Stover.
Yeah. It looks like maybe Stover's got a step on him, but he gets his hand in there at the last minute and breaks up the pass. I think up until that point, there had been maybe a thought that, he was a good player, but maybe, physically, a little bit limited just because of his size. But I think that game and that play really showed, like, forget about the size, forget about, all of the physical stuff, like just the competitor he is. He is able to go out there and go toe to toe with anybody.
And on that play, because as I told you before we started doing this, I'm an Ohio State guy, so I'm watching that play a little bit more annoyed at that moment, yeah. I have to admit. But when you go back and watch that play, first of all, Stover's got several inches on him, but he's open for a minute or for a second, right? And to me, it was the recovery that he had and the way, maybe, like, it was really good instinct, a really good instinctual play by Sammersteel, if you remember, just getting his hands up through there.
Yeah, and I sat with him after that game and we watched the play together and he kind of walked through it and all of what he was thinking as that play was going on. And I think the one thing that I saw him do over and over and over again in his career, there would be plays where it's like, oh, this guy's got a step on him. It looks like maybe he's beat. And then somehow at the last minute, he gets his hand in there and knocks the ball loose. I mean, he had a real knack for that. He finished plays, I think, as well as any defensive back I've ever been around. And it's just, that's a testament to the type of competitor he is. Even when it seems like he's beat, like, he's going to find a way to make the play. And I saw him do that a lot of times at Michigan.
And it's funny because another play he made this year was just more of a tackle in the open field. And a pretty, I think it was on one of the running backs coming out of the backfield, just a nice stick, right? So he's got that physical side to him as well. Does he play maybe a little bit bigger because of that than his, I guess, listed size?
Yeah, he's a physical tackler. I think that was one of the surprises when he made that transition to defense is, you know, you don't know with a guy of his size who's been playing wide receiver, like, is he going to be able to tackle in the open field? And that was, I think, really eye-opening for everybody, maybe the coaches included, just how natural he seemed in that position, how well it fit him. And yeah, I mean, you know, the size is what it is. Everybody's going to bring up the fact that he's, you know, 5'9" or whatever, but there was never really a time at Michigan that he looked outmatched. He was a playmaker. He made, I think, as many plays as anybody on that defense. And if you look back at the biggest plays of last season, he was part of a lot of those plays.
Yeah, absolutely. And then going back to when you sat down and watched that play against Ohio State, the first one, what did you learn anything in talking to him that you came away saying, wow, I didn't know either? Did you learn anything about him or his thought process in that moment?
You know, just the attention to detail that he had, and just, you know, little tiny things. Like he mentioned, you know, Stover just brought the ball down just a little bit, you know, and the height advantage, like if Stover catches it, you know, high points it and keeps it up there, Sanders still probably couldn't have gotten his hand on it, but just that little tiny, you know, bringing the ball down just a little bit, Sanders still could tell he could get his hand in there. Just those little tiny coaching points, you know, because when you're 5'9", like you got to do everything perfectly. Right. And he was just, you know, so technically sound and knew all the little details and the nuances so well. And, you know, for a guy who only played defense for 2 years, just amazing how much of a mastery he had of that.
What would the coaches say about him?
You know, they raved about him. I mean, there were a few guys in that building that I think every single coach would have had nothing but positive things to say about them. And Mike was definitely one of those guys. Like I said, you know, he and Blake Corum, I think, really kind of exemplified what that team was all about. And, you know, from Jim Harbaugh to Jesse Minter to Steve Klinkscale, who was the defensive backs coach. I mean, they all loved the guy just, and obviously for what he did on the field, but also just what he meant to the program off the field, because, you know, he was there when they went 2-4 right in 2020. And it was really like a, you know, a turning point moment for that program. And there were some guys who left and some guys who stayed, and the guys who stayed really kind of, you know, bonded together and made a pact to be part of the group that turned around Michigan football. And Mike was a huge part of that. And I think that really earned him the respect of really everybody around the program.
And you and Bruce Feldman wrote about some of that stuff leading in, you know, I think it was sometime in December, leading into the playoffs, right? So what was Mike's role in that? Like, how strong a leader was he in kind of organizing things, or just that kind of message?
Yeah, I mean, everybody remembers the play against Cade Stover to break up that pass, but there was also the moment in that Ohio State game in 2022 when Mike on the sideline just got the whole team together, the whole defense together, and really, you know, gave a speech that people who saw it were just like, they got chills from it. And it just, you know, it showed the type of respect that he had from his teammates, the presence he had on the sideline to be able to command everybody's attention that way, and fire everybody up and then go back it up on the field. Cause that was a close game until the fourth quarter. And then Michigan really turned it on. And it was really after that moment when Mike got the team together that switch started to flip in that game. And so you saw him do that a lot, and you could just tell like how much his teammates respected him. He was the type of guy where, you know, when he had something to say, everybody would listen to him.
you know, it's funny because the only time I've talked to him was after he was drafted, and he comes across really well. And, you know, like a guy he reminds me of, ironically, is from Ohio State, Terry McLaurin, the guy who just seems to be wiser beyond their years. And McLaurin was a third round pick. And like now, and but to me, like they're both kind of culture changers. You know what I mean? And like, I think the more guys you get like that, a guy like Samardzija, I think that helps change the culture. And so I'm not surprised to hear that. I think a lot of what you're talking about too in that scene was just thinking that that Ohio State was hanging their heads a little bit, that they weren't expecting the fight, right? And that I think wasn't that his message in that moment?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think that's the perfect phrase to talk about culture change, because that's exactly what happened in Michigan. You know, the culture of the program going back like 4 or 5 years ago wasn't at the level that anybody wanted it to be. And there really was a group of players going back to that 2021 season that changed that. And he was right in the middle of that. And yeah, the Ohio State rivalry was, you know, really like exemplified that change, because Ohio State had Michigan's number, and Michigan had lost to them, you know, 5 or 6 years in a row with Jim Harbaugh, and it hadn't really been close the previous couple of years. And then that group was able to just turn that rivalry on its head and really, you know, set Michigan on that path to win the national championship. And Mike was definitely a big part of that.
Yeah. So, and is there anything else that we need to know about him, and just like, you know, just your impression? First of all, what kind of receiver was he before he moved? Because one of the things that someone said was that at the pro day, he was running like really good routes out there too.
Yeah. I think if he had not moved, I think he could have had a couple productive seasons as a wide receiver. We didn't see a lot of him at receiver his first 3 years. You know, he made some plays, he made some catches that I remember. But Michigan also had quite a bit of depth at that time in front of him. So, you know, he was a good, I think, technically sound wide receiver, but definitely, I don't think he would have been a, you know, second round pick if he had not made that switch to defensive back. I mean, that really changed the whole arc of his career.
Did they say how long, like how much extra time did he put in? Because when you're changing positions, like at that late in the game, you have to put a lot of extra time in it. How much of that was going on with him? Do you know?
I'm sure a lot. Yeah. I'm sure that first spring, he was, you know, probably every waking moment almost, you know, really focused on that transition, because you know he had played defense in high school, so I think he had some background that he was able to go back to. But you know, Michigan's defense is complex, and there was a lot he had to pick up in a short amount of time. And he may still have been playing some wide receiver too that first spring, so he had a lot on his plate. And how quickly he picked it up, I think, was the thing that everybody was amazed by. It really, you know, it looked like he'd been playing that position his whole college career, really from the start, from the first time we saw him out there.
I would think too that playing receiver probably helped him at least gain some knowledge and then use that knowledge. But you never know, because like not everybody is able to transfer that to another position. So, Austin, listen, I appreciate your time. Really good insight on Mike. Oh, by the way, I was curious. Were you surprised at how high JJ's stock rose throughout this process? Because this team had him behind Jaden. It was between Jaden and JJ, and Jaden was firm ahead, but the next guy would have been JJ. Were you surprised by that at all?
I wasn't surprised. You know, when JJ came out, I think initially the thought was, well, he's going to be a first round pick. I might not have said top 10 pick the day he came out, but you know, quarterbacks of that caliber are always going to rise to the top. And I certainly saw, you know, throughout JJ's career at Michigan, some of the plays he made are just like, you know, that's an NFL throw, you know, that's an NFL type of throw. He didn't have a chance to make as many of those plays as some of the other quarterbacks did. But when you got to see that from him, you could tell there was some special talent there. So yeah, not surprised he ended up going where he did. Another, you know, great player, great person who was a big part of that turnaround at Michigan. Another guy I think he's going to do really well in the NFL.
Awesome, man. I appreciate the insight. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thanks for having me.
That's it for this episode. Thanks to Austin for joining me, and thank you, as always, for tuning in. I'll be back on Friday, like I said earlier, with another episode. I'll talk to you next time.